Middle of September. This is about the time when we can settle down and start to figure out what it is that we're doing here together. We've had an incredible summer with you. If we haven't met yet, my wife and I were installed as the lead pastors of this congregation on July 8th, right in the middle of the summer where everybody is running this way and that way and vacationing and traveling. And now we're back. And for a lot of our students, running starts tomorrow. And football's in full gear, week 3 in the NFL. And our favorite TV shows are coming back and the leaves are changing colors. And it's a chance for us to settle in and say, God, what is for us? Here we are as a family. We've come together, building relationship with one another, and now it's time to talk about what does it look like to grow. As a leader, it's my job, in any position when we lead, it's our job to get out ahead and to point the vision and say, this is where we're going. And then as followers in Christ, as much as a plan that we have together, it's important that we hold that plan open-handedly because our plans are subject to change because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's upon us, I believe, as leaders to cast a vision and say, this is where we believe that we're going to the best of our ability and to be open and ready for the Lord to surprise us as we go. To be flexible, to be adaptable, and to be teachable as a body of Christ positioned strategically at 14 East Casino Road, Everett, Washington, 98208. He has a plan for us right here. He has a plan for us in our high schools. He has a plan for us in the Bluffs. He has a plan for us while people are walking back and forth to get breakfast between here and Fred Meyer on Sunday mornings and all the other mornings of the week. He has a plan for us when violence erupts in our schools. He has a plan for us. He has a plan for us when our families divide. He has a plan for us. And he's called us to be a part of that plan and to go forward. And so we have hopeful expectations. We had hopeful expectations as we arrived here. And I just want to let you know that those expectations of coming here have been far exceeded because that's just what the Lord does. The boundless richness of God and his grace, the depths, the heights, the width, the length, and his love towards us and our family, we have felt that from you. And it's no surprise because God says when we follow him into the mystery of the unknown, he will meet us there. And he will do more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so our expectations have been exceeded by way of your kindness and generosity as a congregation, by the way of the passion and the commitment of the leadership team here at South Everett Foursquare to prepare our weekly gatherings, to care for one another, as we care for ourselves and build relationships with our community. We've been blessed by the wealth of volunteers. This congregation happens because everybody does something. Everybody does something. A healthy body, every part participates, and if every part doesn't, the parts that don't start to atrophy. They shrink up. They become not what they need to be. And this is a body that gives and is healthy in generosity and giving and serving. And then just, again, the richness of our community partners, which we will talk about at the back half of our service. But there's so much to talk about by way of building relationships with each other. As I've mentioned, we long to have a deep, long history with one another. But history takes time. As we've mentioned before, it takes time to build history. We're off to a good start. I think I've got some pictures here of some things we've already done together. We've had our installation weekend. Do you have that picture, Zach? Did that one get up there? That one. Yeah, we had our installation weekend together on July 8th. Had a number of one-on-one visits with many of you. If you're interested in getting together with myself or my wife, Katrina, or any of our leaders to find out more about who we are, what we do, we're available throughout the week for one-on-ones. Tien and I have already gone kayaking. That was a lot of fun. We had the barbecue with the youth on a beautiful sunny evening, right? Remember that? We've had the back-to-school event with Casino Road Kids Ministries with how many backpacks? About 500 backpacks we packed up and sent out. And so we met at the school and packed those up. That was awesome. The end-of-summer bash at the Norby's. Like, we are getting to know each other, and we want to continue to get to know each other. And as we do that, I just want to share some of the vision the Lord has given me in pictures because we believe that God speaks to us in pictures. We can talk about that on another day, but he does. It's prophesied in the Word that he speaks to us. And so I want to share a couple of the pictures with you as we're thinking about moving forward. When we were praying, in fact, it was on April 2nd, I was up very, very early in the morning getting ready to go to Tijuana, Mexico on a house building trip the very next day. And my spirit was unsettled because the Lord was directing me, moving me. There was an opportunity to maybe come to a congregation called South Everett Foursquare, but that wasn't for sure. And I needed to hear something from the Lord. And I went out and I pounded the pavement in my neighborhood well after midnight. And I said, God, I need you to speak to me. I need to know what direction it is that you're leading me. And I went back and I laid down in my bed, and it was like the presence of God just fell on me. If you've ever had an x-ray and you've had one of those big lead blankets or aprons put down upon you, right? It felt like that, and I felt like the Lord was saying something to me, and he said, get ready to write it down because I'm going to say some stuff to you. And I got up and I started to write, and he said, I am sending you to South Everett. This was before we even knew it was going to be a thing. I'm sending you to South Everett. Not only to pastor a congregation on Casino Road, but to breathe life into the dreams of the people who are already working there. That it wasn't going to be the Chris and Katrina Pepler show. It wasn't going to be the South Everett Foursquare show. It was going to be the Jesus show, where his name was elevated, that his name was held high, his name was held great, and that we would breathe life into the city. And the picture that I got, Zach has a picture of that. He'll pop that up for us. It was a picture of a sunrise. It just felt like, I'm going to breathe life into dreams of people who are already here. That's what's happening. And by the way, you will be unable to outgive those that you are going to serve with by way of love and generosity. You won't be able to do it. Every time you try to one-up them or do more, people will respond out of the love of Jesus and will go and do courageous things in His name. Just breathe life. Speak hope onto dreams. There are broken dreams in our midst. Things that we feel like God has called us to do, but something has happened in our life and we don't think that we can do that anymore. It's not true. God repairs everything. That is part of the vision, that we would come and just breathe life onto the work that's happening as the Spirit breathes over us as well. The second vision I got was of deep pools and dry riverbeds. And I saw this picture of kind of a desert. We have a picture of that as well. And that it wasn't a desert that was lacking water or depth or substance, because the wells in the desert were deep. They ran very deep. The water was deep. It was blue in this vision that I had that the Lord had given me. But then there was connectors, right, between these riverbeds, or between the deep pools, but the riverbeds were dry. But there was clearly a path. You can look and say, there has been times when there's been water running through these beds that have connected all these different outposts of the gospel in South Everett. Go to South Everett and watch me raise the water table and reconnect things that are thriving and doing well on their own, but want to do better because they're together as the unified body of Christ. If there's one word in my life that my life gets boiled back down to, it's reconciler. It's bringing things back together that haven't been connected for a while. And we're seeing that start to happen. We're seeing connections, new life between Hand in Hand Ministries, new life between Hand in Hand and Casino Road Kids Ministries, new life between South Everett Foursquare and both of those nonprofits in our neighborhood, life between here and life between Mill Creek Foursquare, that the Lord is stirring new things up, life between South Everett Foursquare and the city of Everett. New connections are being made, and we're going to do this together. So the Lord said, come and watch the water table rise, and we'll be able to work together because we're not in competition with each other. Amen? Yes. Amen. And then finally, this word forward. There's a picture here of a bow and arrow. And the thing that makes an arrow fly when you pull back the bow is the tension that's created in it and the need to go backwards before you can go forwards. Because when an arrow is shot, the only way that it's going to travel straight with trajectory, if it's pulled back and there's tension and it's tight and you feel like maybe your arm's going to let loose. But there's a time and a season for everything when we move backwards before we go forwards. I've been in a 6-year season of refining in the hands of the Lord. It has been very painful at times, but hugely rewarding, the season that I've gone through. And through it, I've come to a rock solid understanding that God will never, ever waste pain. It will never be wasted. In the middle of that journey, the Lord gave me a nugget traveling out to Mount Si. It's a mountain on the I-90 on the way to Spokane. And we were going on a climb, and he's in good shape. I think he's 76 years old, and he beats me at Mount Si every time we go up. But there was one day we were driving out to Mount Si, and he told me a story of 20 years previously when his daughter had taken her life. In probably 45 minutes on the drive, and I'm just listening to him recount the story 20 years later. It's very quiet. And towards the end of the drive, right at the mountain, the head of the mountain, the trailhead, and he says, and you know the thing about pain, right? And in that moment, nope. He said, pain goes away. God will use pain. He will use difficult circumstances to grow us. It may never fully go away this side of heaven, but we have a hope and a promise of another day when it will go away and what gives us hope for today. So don't be afraid if God has you in a season where everything isn't all that awesome by way of circumstance. There is joy that bubbles up from underneath. It's what keeps us going day after day. Tyrone and Todd tell me stories of devastating things that have happened in this neighborhood. Why do you keep getting up and doing it again? Why? Why? Because of joy. Because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And He will dig deep to do things in us and through us. And so I learned some things about courage, about resiliency, about how pain will eventually go away, and how pain propels us forward if we steward it well. It will send us forward like an arrow, destined for a target that has been preset because we have vision for where God is taking us. And when we arrive, it will pierce the target with pinpoint accuracy. But there was tension along the way. In that, I learned courage. One, to be still. The tension that was the Lord was teaching me was how to be still and know that He was God. Courage to seek the face of God above and beyond anything else that I was going through. Seek His face. Seek His Word. If you don't have a Bible, you do now. There's brand new copies of God's Word on these chairs. If you don't have a Bible, take one home. That will help you seek the face of God. Courage to surrender my strength, my name, my will, and my plan. That is painful, to surrender those things. It's taken me 6 years to surrender that stuff, and then every day I got to lay it down again. And then finally, courage to remain. Remain in the ongoing work of transformation that the Lord has us in. Our leadership team is going through a process of transformation right now by identifying their gifts, their strengths, their priorities, so that we would have a unified vision for what we are called to do in this community. And it gets painful. Some of my leaders are like, saying, I don't like the questions you're asking. Why? Well, it's making me go deep. I got to figure some stuff out about me. It's painful. Well, let's do it together. Knowing that pain will lead us forward if stewarded correctly, right? No one needs to be in pain alone. That's something else. If there's anyone in this congregation, anyone that you talk to on the street, they do not have to be in pain by themselves. Sometimes we just carry the suffering with people, okay? Todd McNeil taught me that this week. Sometimes you just carry people's suffering for a minute so they don't have to suffer by themselves. We have to have a reason for pain, otherwise it's just too painful, right? So we will go forward. That's something that the Lord was talking to me about through all of this. Courage to be still, to seek the Lord, to surrender and remain. And all of that building for the last 18 months, I would say, forward. That's the word I was getting. I asked our leadership team, how do you feel about the change? Pastors Ben and Alicia Ramos, who have stewarded this congregation well for the last 3 years, have moved forward. That leaves us here. How do we feel about another change for this congregation? How Covey looks at me and he goes, oh, we're all good. We're ready to move forward. And as soon as he hit me with that word, I knew that this was exactly the place we were supposed to be because God was already speaking it to me too. Forward. For our purposes, South Everett Foursquare can be South Everett Forward. And it's four, the number four, and word, not W-A-R-D, but W-O-R-D. Because everything that we do about going forward from here is built and established on God's Word. We will be established and rooted in God's Word or we will be nothing. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. And if my mind isn't reconciled to the Word in the Gospel every day, I get off track. It doesn't take very long. But I don't got to stop breathing air very long before I'm dead either. What do I got? 90 seconds? 2 minutes? Right? The air we breathe. The everlasting word. The water. Our food. We will move forward on God's word. I'm going to teach you some things here in a few minutes and tell you how we're going to do this as we go. Bigger words, I got them for a guy smarter than me, cooler accent. He's from Australia. His name's Alan Hirsch. He's written a number of books, but the one most recently he wrote is called Read Jesus. And it's all about going back to find the Jesus of the Gospels to understand what it means to move forward. And he talks about three things, and Zach, you can throw these up here. The first one being this idea of Christology. If we're going to move forward, we have to have a Christology. Well, what is a Christology? It's simply a biblically centered understanding of an encounter with Jesus. Our Christology. What do we believe about who Jesus is? Not just from what we heard in Sunday school, because that's important. God bless Brendan Norby and all of our children's volunteers who disciple our young people week in and week out. We got to know some stuff up here, but then we got to go do some stuff. We got to experience Jesus. How do I know that he's peace? Because one night, things were coming unglued for me, and I prayed and he brought me peace. I know it because I felt it. I experienced transformation because I've seen it. Right? I've seen this kind of thing. What is it that we're doing here? What is it based upon? If it isn't based on Jesus, it's based on nothing. We will find him in the Word. We will find him through corporate worship. We will find him through accountable relationships with one another. And we will find him by going through pain. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Psalm 23. It's a story about a shepherd and his sheep. Right? It's real. The thing you're going through isn't new to Jesus. He wrote about it in 1,000 different ways, and a couple thousand years ago through King David, and then many more. Go through it, and God will lead you in it. Christology. Secondly, missiology. What's that? It's based on our Christology, and it is our biblically centered understanding of what we are called to do in light of who Jesus is. Who is he, and what is he calling me to do because of who he is? Right? That's also in the Word. That's also found in corporate worship. It's also found in accountable relationships. It's also found out on the street and in the Bluffs and at Mariner High School, Voyager Middle School, every place where we set our feet. What is he calling us to do? We will be looking at that. And then finally, ecclesiology. Well, what is that? That's simply how we choose to operate as the local expression, South Everett Foursquare Church. It's how we choose to operate based on who Jesus is and what he's called us to do. So it's who he is, what we will do, and how we will do it, right? Say that with me. Who he is, what I'll do, how I'll do it. That's all it is. It's very simple. He's got this quote. I love this quote. This is about moving forward. Alan Hirsch says this in Read Jesus. It appears that a good church upbringing will do many marvelous things for us, but one of the things it unfortunately also does is convince us that Jesus is to be worshipped but not followed. Which simply means it's important that we come together to be the body of Christ on Sunday, then we have to go out the door and be his body on Monday. We got to go follow him into the places where he's called us. Amen? This idea of Christology, missiology, ecclesiology. Don't worry about all those words, but I'm just letting you know that's my framework. That's the way I think. Who he is, what he's called us to do, how we're going to do it. A clear picture of the person of Jesus as we understand him in the Gospels is required for us to understand our purpose of what the church is and how to best execute his purpose. So, who does Jesus say that he is? Who does Jesus say that we are in light of who he is? That's the Christology, and informs us what we're going to be doing in this neighborhood over time. It begs the question, what are we doing here? And we get to figure that out together. And I'll also tell you, it ain't all figured out yet, because we're still building relationship. We're building trust with each other to go somewhere together. There's an old African proverb. I've shared it once, but I want to say it again. If you want to go somewhere fast, go by yourself. If you want to go a long way, go in a group. We will learn to trust each other. I will make a commitment, and I hope you will make a commitment also, that any gaps in information, and when we're new together, there's plenty of gaps in information, right? We don't have it all together yet. We're still learning how to be a family together. Mostly my wife and my kids and I, but there's a lot of questions. Here's the thing. Always fill gaps in information with trust and not assumption, right? If you are wondering about something, don't assume something about somebody. Go ask them. That will build trust with each other, and then we'll go somewhere. Does that make sense? I have to check myself how many times I assume stuff when I don't know information. Then I get all mad. Right? We have to look at Jesus to figure out what it is that we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it. The best I can tell, Jesus came, spent 33 years on this planet, did two things. Got really, really, really close to the Father. Even though himself was the fullness of God, that's our theology, that we understand that Jesus Christ was fully God, fully man. Both of those things simultaneously. But still took time to be alone with the Father. Still took time to get away and say, really, Lord? Like all these people? Right? I mean, just vent his frustration probably. He had human emotion, but it says he stole away to lonely places to be with the Father. And then when he got back with the people, and they said, well, what are we doing? He just said, I'm going to do whatever the Father tells me to do. That's all I do. That's all I do is do what he tells me to do. Jesus got close to the Father. He modeled intimacy with God, and then he got scary close to people. Like people with leprosy, diseases that he would reach out and touch, and in Jesus' name, you are healed. Right? He would do these things. He got close to people. He said in John 5:19, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing. Even the Son can do nothing by himself. So who on earth are we to think that we can? He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives him life, so the Son gives life to everyone he's pleased to give it to. He goes on to say in Matthew 9:35-38, Jesus went through all of the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. This is what he did. This is what makes me think about our road right here. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. We have the harassed and the helpless in our midst. We get to do exactly what Jesus... When I see, listen to this passage of Scripture, I see Jesus walking on Cassina Road. Harassed and helpless, people without a shepherd. And then he says, you're going to be my ambassador. I'm going to do all this through you. Let's be a healthy church. Who he is, he was physically present in towns and villages. He taught in the local churches. He proclaimed the good news. He healed the disease. He had compassion on people because they were helpless and harassed, and he sent out the workers. The Father, who is the mission of God himself, he is in essence the mission, sent the Son. The Father and the Son sent the Spirit, and the Spirit sends the New Testament church of Jesus into the community. Alan Hirsch also said this, darned if every single follower of Jesus isn't a sent one. You can't actually be a follower of Jesus and not be sent. Worship isn't fully worship unless it includes following after Jesus. So what will we do? Quickly proclaiming and then inviting our partners to come in just a minute. We will gather on Sunday mornings. That is part of who we are. We will gather on Sunday mornings for corporate worship, prayer, and the study of God's Word. We will disciple our young people. We will disciple our young people. We will disciple our young people. And we're going to disciple our young people. We, all of us, will disciple our young people. They're the hope and the future of the church. We will encourage accountable relationships. I can't make you meet outside of here during the week. I can't get you to come, but you do, so thanks. But meet together in fellowship. We have men's and groups, men's and women's studies. Everyone's welcome on Tuesday nights, October 8th, October 9th for the ladies, October 2nd for the men. That's when those start. We will encourage accountable relationships. We will encourage health in homes, in our neighborhoods, in the village square, which is essentially our schools, our local businesses, our local government. We'll encourage health, and we will encourage health in the workplace. And we will gather at the village square, the village circle. We will gather at the children's village right here. That's something I want to just clarify on as a housekeeping piece of business. Some of you may not know this. Some of you may know this already. A very strategic plan was in place to potentially move this congregation a few blocks down the road to Horizon Elementary School. That was something that was going to possibly be happening. Ben Ramos started the charge in that. When we investigated deeper the financial strain that would put on our congregation to meet down the road, it was going to double our monthly rent by $1,000. It was going to double our mortgage payment. And I believe that we are supposed to be financially well stewarded, that we need to protect our resources to do more in the community. And until we do not fit in here anymore, we might double to two services. I don't know what we'll do, but we're going to meet here for a while. And you're going to hear about why that's more than just a people decision or a finance decision from Todd here in just a few minutes, why it's important that we're meeting on this campus. But if you had heard from Ben, and he did share this spring that we might be leaving this location here at Child Strive, we are strategically deciding to stay. And so just know that. That's important for everyone to know, that we will continue to meet here. How we're going to do all this, much of that has yet to be determined, how it is that we're going to do this. I will tell you this, we are not in a hurry. We're financially viable, we are relationally viable, and we have time to sit in the presence of the Lord and ask Him what it is that we will do. So we're going to build relationships first. We're going to continue to build trust first. And then we will decide in partnership with our partners what it is that we're supposed to be doing as a leg in this stool, right? We are part of something much bigger than ourselves. So we will wait and consider our strengths and consider the voice of the Lord. But we will do it in tandem with these partners. A former pastor of this congregation, I've spoken with two of them, three of them now. Dave Miller and I had a conversation on the phone a couple weeks ago. I talked to Joseph Phelan earlier this week. And he goes, man, when I tell people, they ask how big our church is, sometimes I'd say 400. Then he paused and I'm like, okay. He goes, because that's how many people we actually touched this week throughout the week as part of South Everett Foursquare. Sometimes people ask me, how big is your church? He says 8,000. Then he paused. He goes, that's how many people live on this road. Parish mentality ministry, right? We don't have to be a big gathering on Sundays to pastor lots of people. But it's going to take spiritual health and a lot of courage, going through a lot of pain to be able to help people. Amen? So in order to love this neighborhood, and I'm going to invite our guests up, we must touch the neighborhood. We must know our neighbors and those who we are in partnership with. And so we're going to spend about the next 20 minutes before we have lunch together. And if it gets a little rowdy in here, it's because Qdoba's bringing food in just a little bit here. But I would like to invite up Tyrone McMorris. Just have a seat up here. Todd McNeil, if you would come up. Anne-Marie Dibble, if you would come up. And Ashley Morietta. I'm going to get there, Ashley. I'm going to get there. Come on up. Come on up. Can we give them a hand? So we'll just pass this mic back and forth. I'm a panel guy, so this will not be the last time that we do this. We will do this frequently because the work here on Sunday mornings isn't just religious, it's practice, right? So we're going to practice what it is that we're doing. I've asked them to come in advance. Very excited for them to be here, and have prepared some questions. And so we'll just maybe do two rounds, but different questions for each. And it looks like, Tyrone, you prepared some answers, which is great. So Tyrone, just briefly, if you could give us an overview of Casino Road Kids Ministries, just in about 2.5 minutes, tell us what you can about who you are and what you're doing.
Thanks. Yeah. I have notes because I get nervous when I speak to people. So, I'm Tyrone McMorris, and I'm the founder and executive director of Casino Road Kids Ministries, and it's an honor truly to be here with you guys this morning, because out there at Foursquare has been a part of our family's life for close to 9 years, and you guys have been a huge support to Casino Road Kids Ministries. And when I'm here with you guys, it's encouraging, because each one of you are a part of my dream for children on Casino Road. And my dream for the kids who live on Casino Road is that they know they're valued by God, that they are capable of completing school, and that they are the community leaders on Casino Road. And you're being here, is you have an opportunity to make an impact in the kids' lives, because many of the kids who live on Casino Road, they see negative activities in the community, like crime, prostitution, drugs, things like that that go on, and these negative activities don't bring much hope. But kids connect with Casino Road Kids Ministries Monday through Thursday through our homework and our Bible clubs, where at homework club they get help with their schoolwork, they get dinner, they do a science activity with the Imagine Children Museum, and then our Bible club, they hear a gospel message, and they get discipled and leadership skills, and they eat dinner as well, and we get to sing songs and worship Jesus. So it's really a joy to be in this community connecting, because as you look at out here in our congregation, you see a lot of the kids who've been impacted by Casino Road Kids Ministries hand in hand, Youth for Christ, and you can see the leadership ability in these kids. And so,
amen. Why don't you pass that to Ashley? Take your time, come back in a minute. Ashley, as someone who's grown up in this community, part of this church, part of the local schools, and part of Hand in Hand Casino Road Kids, talking to South Everett Foursquare, and there's a number of folks that are newer to this congregation, if there was something that you would want South Everett Foursquare to know about Casino Road in this neighborhood and how we can engage with it, what would that be?
So I kind of have two. One of them would kind of be like for the parents, and then I will kind of be talking about also like the youth. Casino Road is a really like immigrant-based community. A lot of people here kind of live in fear of what's going to happen, you know, families getting separated. They haven't been, they're not used to having people kind of reach out and be like, how can I help you, you know? What do you need? What are your fears? How can we help you walk through them? Like, for example, earlier in the year, we did a, it was a free community health clinic. We did it at Horizon, and when the families came out, they would just, you know, like, well, first thing is, like, you know, they see you speak Spanish, and they're like, oh, wow, like, you speak Spanish, and then they, like, start telling you their life story. Like, this is how I feel, you know, I didn't even know this was happening here. We don't even have health insurance kind of thing, you know, this is what's going on with the kids. And, you know, they just want someone to be there for them. They just want someone to actually tell them how to walk through life and of all, like, resources that are available. You know, growing up, I was, I knew about Little Red because of my cousin and her family. They'll be like, oh, you know, like, we called it the Little Red Schoolhouse. And it's like, you know, you need help, go there. So it's kind of just planting, like, a place where they're like, that's where you can go to get help. With the youth, a lot of the youth haven't really had people really invested in their life. You know, they have their parents, but most of the parents work. They don't really get to, you know, go deeper in them about their daily life. So when you have someone who kind of comes up and be like, I want to walk through life with you, barriers go up. You know, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I've never had this. Why now? But, you know, so it takes a little bit to kind of gain that trust and let you walk with the youth just because of previous experiences. You know, a lot of kids go through unspeakable things in this community just because of, you know, how it is and how we're located, violence and gangs. But, you know, that being said, it does take a while to gain trust. But when you let it happen, you know, it's a beautiful relationship. Like, on Friday when the whole thing happened at the football game, you know, the first thing I did was, like, I called my sister. But after that, I called Anne-Marie, and I called Sheena, and I was going to call Victor. And, you know, these are people who came into my life and actually, you know, invested in me. And I was, I don't know, it's just amazing when you actually put down those barriers and just be able to connect with the people who've invested in you, because the next thing you want to do is just give back and do exactly what those people did for you to others.
Thank you, Ashley. Follow-up question for you. For an adult that isn't sure how to do that, how to reach out, that's a challenge for every generation. How do you reach out to the generation that's coming up to help? What's a good first step?
Well, the first thing I would say is get to know their name. you go a long way by knowing someone's name, you know, even though sometimes I suck with names, or just kind of seeing someone at the store and actually going up to them, you know, kind of sometimes it's hard. You see someone at the store and you're like, I don't want to be seen, kind of hide, but just actually acknowledging the person. And, you know, there is going to be a language barrier here in this community. It's going to be there if you don't speak Spanish. That's the truth, just because, you know, it happens. But, you know, Latinos, the Latino community just loves recognition. You know, you don't have to speak the language. You can just go up to them and hug them. You can just be like, how, you know, like, how are you? Hug. And, you know, and that's it. And people can just be like, moms will be like, oh, that lady's so nice. You know, she's like the best, kind of thing. So just kind of get to know them, let them know that they're seen, that they're recognized, and, you know, if you can't get their name. Yeah.
Marietta.
Marietta.
Got it. All right. Ashley Marietta. Won't ever forget it again. Thank you, Ashley. We'll come back in a second. I want to talk with Anne Marie for 1 second here. And Anne Marie is, I did not meet her. I heard her name 1,000 times before I ever met her. And that says something about her character and her place in this community. And when I met her, I almost asked her for her autograph because I'm like, oh, it's Anne Marie. You know, like, you got like a baseball card or something? I can have you sign it. But you've been here, and we haven't even had a chance to really sit down and go deep on this yet. But I just want to know from you, what do these young people that you have bridged the gap with on Casino Road, what do they mean to you?
I feel like they're my second family. They're like, I'm their mom to a bunch of them. And my kids just left for college, and so people keep asking me, like, oh, are you an empty nester now? Are you bored? And I'm like, I'm not really bored, because I have like 30 other kids I see on a regular basis that I love and care about.
Awesome. Yes. And our friend Todd McNeil, if you want to hand the mic down to Todd. Todd is, just tell you a little bit about what I'm doing in context to this. I'm spending at least 1 day a week working off of this campus. Sometimes I have to get away to study. I'm spending time with my leaders individually, connected in with Mill Creek. But Thursdays is my day, and Todd has so graciously opened up workspace. We rent this on Sundays, but we only have it on Sundays. Todd from the get-go said, hey, come and work with us. Come spend time with us. And so Todd and I, he's taking me on adventures in the city throughout the week, which is really great. And thank you for that and that space that you're providing for us. But Todd, tell us a little bit of time, about a time when you encountered Jesus through the eyes of an orphan in distress in our community.
Yes, and you know, I had like these three stories I was gonna pick from, and just listening to you, I just want to share something. And it was an encounter about a year ago, and it's something that where you encounter Jesus, but it's also that need for the workers for that harvest. And I was riding with a child that I've known. She never known a time when she didn't know me, and has been in foster care and would intentionally bomb out of homes. And she was McKinney Vento, was living with somebody, and I was picking her up every morning to go to school. And this kid has called me dad for I don't know how long. But it was a very solemn ride to school, and she said, Dad, I call you dad, but you're not really my dad. You never took me in any of those times I was in foster care. All those times that I was intentionally, you know, bombing out, I wanted you to be my dad. And I tried explaining to her, you know, there's these rules. You know, we always have 7, 8 kids in the house. I can't. It's just the timing. And she said, that's not true. She goes, if it was Abby, who's my youngest biological daughter, it wouldn't have mattered if there was 20 kids in your house. You would have gotten her. You aren't really my dad, and I want you to be. And it broke my heart, right? And trying to do things on our own all the time, we can't. We have to have help. We have to have partners. She needed somebody to be her dad, and I wasn't enough. And that was encountering. When you have these conversations, Matthew 25, the story of the sheep and the goats, when you have a child who truly is orphaned, that was an encounter with Jesus. Not a pleasant one, but that was an encounter with Jesus.
Thank you, Todd. Back to Tyrone here. Second question for you, Tyrone. You probably have it. I'm going back and forth on my notes here. What's something, a significant aspect of God's character that you have come to encounter through your work with Casino Road Kids Ministries?
When I read that question, I was like, man, that's a good question. That was deep and too deep for me to come up with. But as I prayed about it, I thought about it, thought about a couple things. And first thing was, it was during last school year. Young man, I've known him since he was 13. He called me up and to let me know he's mentoring boys at Voyager Middle School through the Boys and Girls Club. And he's 29 now. He's got a son. He's engaged, and we spend a lot of time at the Boys and Girls Club. And he told me that during this program at Voyager with the Boys and Girls Club director, he told him, he says, hey, I got to start meeting with these boys outside of the group. And the director said, hey, you can't do that. And he's like, no. He's like, I can do it. He said, that's what Tyrone did. And then he changed it. He's like, hey, that's what you did. You took us out to eat. You hung out with us at the club. You talked life with us. You took us out for coffee. And he said, he's like, I want to do that. And this verse was spoken over me about 3 years prior to that from a friend encouraging me. And it just kind of spoke to me as I was reading that question. It's in Mark 4, verse 26 through 29. It reads, Jesus also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And so that phone call and this verse kind of reminds me of God's sovereignty and that I need to trust in his power and his ability to transform lives. And when I wonder or I doubt if I'm working or he's working, I just look at, like I said, I look at these teenagers in this room. Not to embarrass her, but I look at Jennifer over there and I think about her life and look at Jose back there and look at many of these kids and it reminds me that God is at work. Amen. And like this verse says, he sleeps. God's doing the growth and it's just my job to water, plant seeds when God gives me opportunities and I just got to trust in his sovereignty to do what he does. And my prayer is to let go and allow God to do what only he can do. And so that's what God's called me about a bit about his character.
Amen. Thanks. Thank you. Ashley, what has your involvement with all of these ministry partners, if it's to whatever extent you've been involved with Casino Road Kids, with Hand in Hand, with City Life, with South Everett Youth, what has that investment meant to you personally?
It's given me like a family. Not really, I have a family, a biological family, but everyone who I've kind of encountered, I've just thought of family, like with the youth that I connected with at City Life, we kind of had this joke that we were all cousins. You know, part of it is true, but some of the people that that just came in and don't look like us, like they do not look like us. We'll go places and you just see like 20 kids come out of a van. People kind of be like, oh, and they'll be like, oh yeah, we're all cousins, and people would just be like, okay. And so because we actually felt that connection, there will be times where people would just come. I lived at Park 120 for the longest time, and people would just come to my house, and we would just, bond like a family. We would, like, buy food. We would watch movies, and it was just like, we were with one another, and we were in community, and it was just great because it was just like, little brothers and sisters or older brothers and sisters that I've never had. I have my sister too, but we were all in there together. So that was like the really cool part. And like with Anne Marie, she became like my second mom. And like, Victor, I thought of him like an uncle because I'm like, he's like the uncle. And then like Sheena's just like an older sister kind of thing. So everyone just kind of placed it into like a family.
That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Anne Marie, tell us about how you got involved first with City Life and your involvement with the youth, and how that might lead others to get involved.
Well, my daughter asked me if I would come and do this with her and volunteer at City Life. And at first, I didn't really want to. In fact, I said, I will work in the kitchen, I will serve meals and clean up, but I didn't really want to get to know the kids. And that lasted about 2 weeks. And then I got to know the kids. And they, like, just... They get in your heart, and you just can't stop thinking about them. And so it's been, for me, a super wild ride where you have to surrender to Jesus. Like, I might have a plan for my day, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call from a kid in a tough spot. I get a Bible verse in the morning that just tells me and puts someone on my heart to go meet with, to talk to, or to arrange a doctor's appointment for, or whatever it is. So... I asked Jennifer on the way here, why do you keep coming back to City Life? Because she's probably come all the way through your program. She's one of the kids that's been around forever. And what she told me is there's three reasons she keeps coming back. One is safety, because she doesn't always have a great, safe place to be. Second is food. And she knows every time she comes, she's going to get some food, a good, solid meal. And the third is fun. And... with City Life, we usually always have a good time. So as far as how you could get involved, why, what I do, or what you could do, I kind of look around the room and see different ages, different times in your life. And first I think about the young leaders, those that are 18 and above that are out of high school. You know, we need people to walk alongside of these kids, to do life with them. And you may think I'm not ready for that, but I got to say, like, I've changed more through my time working with these kids, because God's just got to shape you. There's days that I'm so pissed off at somebody, and then I read my Bible, and God talks about forgiveness. And so I've completely changed as a part of it, and I know the kids are changing too as our patience and compassion grows. Through the things that keep me busy during the day, we have medical needs, legal needs, immigration needs, kids that need jobs, kids that need to graduate from high school. So if you find that you have some special talents that might help assist these kids in some life skills, that we're in desperate need of that. Just even coming out on a Tuesday night to hang out, to cook a meal for the kids, so that people like Vaughn, who are there every week, and he's super fun and young and energetic, he can go spend time with the kids and have somebody else clean up for him while he's talking to the kids. So there's tons of things, and if you're interested, you could talk to me. I can figure out what your talents are, and we can definitely use you.
Thank you, Anna Marie. Appreciate that. Todd McNeil, Todd and I, in our conversations, has said something about the value of having a congregation meeting here. And that, for this season, is defining our purpose in large part. It matters where we are, and it matters to our partnering organizations that we are in proximity to one another. Can you tell us a little bit about what it means for you and what you're doing here throughout the week to have a congregation that worships, that prays, that seeks the Lord together here on the weekends?
Yeah, it is super important. And at Hand in Hand, we see the best and the worst. We see the greatest successes. We get to do life with kids on the soccer field and create families and take kids who've never played and win every game or lose every game by 10 and 15 goals, and 2 years later, because of hard work and a family atmosphere, are winning state championships. Right? These wonderful things where kids who don't have a family get adopted. We get to hang out with just awesome kids, really. I've adopted a bunch of them. And you know, Jenny, I've known since she was just a baby. You know, I got to hold her. Liz, Arturo, at my house. So these wonderful things. But we also see darkness. You know, we're dealing with babies who are trafficked. Babies with diseases because their mom sold them. Toddlers are doing this stuff. And they're right over here. We take care of these kids with broken bones, with broken spirits. And God loves orphans and immigrants and the poor. He loves them. And he loves that when our kids are on the pitch, that wealthier white people are calling them, you know, effing Mexicans and effing wetbacks and go back where you came from. And that churches are disparaging them and supporting people who ostracize them and belittle them. Satan loves that. And so there's a spiritual battle that is going on right now. And it's a spiritual battle where people who work with immigrants and the poor and the orphans, their families are attacked spiritually and physically. cancer, divorce, death of children. I just can't even begin to tell you the hardship that the people who truly invest in our community and our kids and the hardship that is brought on them, because this is a spiritual battle. We need a church here. We need a congregation to cover us with prayer, to be warriors in that spiritual realm, to cover our staff and our volunteers. We have 18 staff now. For those of you who remember our little group here, just the little engine that could, we have over 200 volunteers who are regularly investing, and another 200 who are working things. We have a budget with gift in kind of $1.5 million right now. And that is a huge operation to have, that all those people out there without the covering, that spiritual covering of a church right here to be praying for us and to be battling for us in that spiritual realm.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. To follow God into unknown spaces takes a lot of faith, and we're going to do that together. But we know that God promises that He's good when He calls us, when He gives us visions, when He confirms those things, when He brings an appointed group for the right time and the right season. I've been reading recently about how organizations work, and that organizations need to go back to their founding to find out, what was it, Dave Miller, that caused you to put a congregation here in 1994? And he told me. Right? And you take those seeds, and then you take the seeds from there, and what Joseph Phelan brought to this organization, then what Josh Ferguson brought, and then what Don Kane brought, and then what the Ramoses brought for a season. It matters, but now we get to ask the Lord to be creative again. What will He do with us now? That includes everything that we've been for a season that is for today. Right, and this is it. And so we're gonna close this time in prayer. Then we're gonna move some stuff around, some tables, and we're gonna get some lunch going. Katrina and I will then have a Q&A time. The kids will come over. It's gonna be a little raucous. That's fine. I'm okay with that. Then that's gonna be a time for you to ask follow-up questions to this time, and we will move forward. But I just want to position ourselves in a posture of prayer. Lord, here we are. Darned if we aren't all sent ones, because the Father sent the Son, the Father and the Son sent the Spirit. The Spirit has sent us into the world. We are sent. We are missionaries. We're on location. We're on purpose. God, give us purpose, Lord, that's beyond just singing and reading and having coffee. That's all important. Those are the vehicles. But God, Your Spirit wants to do something new in us and through us. Lord, thank You for the faithful work of the leaders who have gone before. Thank You, Lord, for Your provision of finance, for Your provision of relationship. Lord, You've set us down right here. Lord, let us breathe deeply, Lord, what You have for us, to rest and abide in You. And to know some of us might be getting called right now to come and do something, and some of us may just need a season of rest. Whatever it is, it's okay. We're a body. And we trust You. Lord, thank You for Casino Road Kids Ministries. Thank You for City Life. Thank You for the youth of this neighborhood who are already the leaders of this neighborhood. Help us to learn from them and them from us. Lord, thank You for Hand in Hand. Thank You for the Everett Gospel Mission, for all the other congregations all over this city. That Your name, not the name of any one of us, but Your name would be lifted high, and that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we continue forward, Lord, would You bless this meal? Let it be for the furthering of relationship as we commune with one another, as we grow deeper in relationship, Lord, build trust by the power of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.